位听众，美国之音的时事经纬。观众朋友们大家好，今天是6月13号星期六，欢迎收看美国观察。特朗普总统已经发布行政命令，授权美国对参与调查一些美军是否在阿富汗犯下战争罪行的国际刑事法院人员进行制裁。国务卿蓬佩奥说，设在海牙的法庭是出于政治动机，对美国主权构成了威胁。来看报道。
在过去的18年中，美国军事人员和情报人员一直在阿富汗与恐怖主义做斗争，这些行动已经导致该国据称是受害人提出的约700项关于战争罪的申诉，国际刑事法院已授权进行一项重大调查，这是该法院的检察官首次被批准调查美国部队。
Cannot, we will not stand by as our people are threatened by a kangaroo court, and indeed I have a message to many close allies around the world.Your people could be next.
国务卿蓬佩奥星期四宣布，美国对参与调查的国际刑事法院人员进行经济制裁和旅行限制。人权组织谴责了这种针对国际刑事法院的举动。
One of the most troubling elements of this executive action is that you have the Trump administration deploying tools that are typically used for some of the most dangerous threats to the United States.
国防部长艾斯珀说，美国不是创建国际刑事法院的罗马规约的缔约国，从来没有接受过该法院对美方人员拥有授权。美国两党的许多议员都反对国际刑事法院针对美国及其盟国以色列的调查。以色列总理内塔尼亚胡迅速赞扬了美国总统特朗普对该法院的制裁。美国之音塞内报道。
北京在台湾海峡日益大胆且频繁的军事动作引起了美国国会议员的关注。一位参议院共和党人推出法案，将确保美国履行对台湾的安全承诺，遏制中国武力犯台的意图。来看美国之音国会记者李怡华的报道。
共和党联邦参议员霍利这个星期推出台湾防卫法，目的在确保美国维持足够的军事能力，以遏制中国对台湾所采取的既成事实战略。所谓的既成事实战略，指的是中国意图在美国军事力量能够做出有效反应前，先夺取对台湾的控制权，同时威慑美国，让美国相信采取反制措施将是非常困难的，或者必须付出高昂的代价。霍利参议员在接受美国之音采访时表示，台湾防卫法的主要目的就是要阻止中国的帝国主义扩张。我们来听听霍利参议员怎么说。
To stop Chinese imperialism, Beijing's imperialism in the Asia Pacific, we know that China's intent, their hope militarily, is to launch a first strike on Taiwan, seize control, and then preventany response from American or other forces. And of course, that would probably involve an attack, a preemptive attack on American forces in the region. So we want to make sure that we send a clear signal that we're going to defend our positions in the region. We're not going to allow China to dominate and shut us out of the Asia Pacific. We're not going to allow China to acquire territory by force of arms.And we're going to protect our interests. We simply cannot allow China to become an imperial power and to dominate the whole Asia Pacific, because from there they'll try to dominate the whole rest of the world.
台湾防卫法援引了多个美国国防单位的报告内容，包括美国国防情报局2019年的评估报告说，中国迫使台湾与中国统一，遏制台湾宣布独立，为中国长久以来的意图，也是中国军事现代化的主要驱动力。美国国防部2019年6月份所发布的印太战略报告也指出，中国政府正在以武力让台湾与大陆统一而准备应急措施，同时威慑、延迟或拒绝任何第三方为台湾进行任何的干预。霍利参议员表示，他认为中国目前正在试图改变台湾海峡甚至整个印太地区的现状。继续来听听霍利参议员的说法。
Yes, absolutely they are. They're clearly rather trying to change the situation in their favor. And their favor means they're trying to exert and project their power. And we have got to, the United States has got to stand up to stop that. Listen, I'm all for peaceful development. from China if they will, you know, be peaceful and develop their economy. But we're going to have to say no to military adventurism. We're going to have to say no to economic adventurism.
法要求美国国防部长从2021年到2026年每年的4月30号之前，必须向国会军事委员会提交年度报告，就国防部改进联合作战能力的进度来做出说明。以上是美国之音记者李一华在国会山的采访报道。
随着种族平权的抗议席卷全国，分析人士认为说，民主党总统候选人拜登有可能选择一位非裔女性作为他的副总统人选。
全国性种族不公正抗议活动加大了呼吁拜登选拔一位非裔美国女性作为总统竞选副手的声音。一些人认为特朗普总统要求军队平息内乱而激化了这些抗议活动。
He has to actually have something to offer black voters. And it can't just be that Donald Trump is a mess of terrible. It has to be something more substantial than that.
拜登这位民主党总统候选人已经承诺挑选一位高素质的女性担任副总统，解决种族紧张和激发黑人支持的不断增长的需求，以将人们的注意力集中在加州联邦参议员卡马拉·哈里斯身上。哈里斯是印度和牙买加移民的女儿，但在民主党初选中败给了拜登，她已经成为主要竞争者。与此同时，另一位总统提名参选人克洛布查尔参议员的前景似乎因受到批评而逊色。批评人士说，作为明尼苏达州的前检察官，他当时没有大力追究警察暴行的案件。乔治亚州亚特兰大市长巴顿斯被认为是有潜力的竞争者，因为他对自己所在城市的骚乱发表了激烈的演讲，并解雇了因涉嫌在抗议中过度使用武力的警察，而赢得了全美的瞩目。
We understand that our officers are working very long hours under an enormous amount of stress, but we also understand.That the use of excessive force is never acceptable.
关于佛罗里达州国会议员戴明斯的讨论也越来越多。他是针对特朗普总统弹劾程序的管理者之一，但是他也因为过去担任奥兰多警察局长的表现而受到批评。乔治亚州前州议员艾布拉姆斯也有可能。他在这个共和党势力大的州的州长竞选中以较小差距落选。前国家安全顾问苏珊·赖斯也是一位可能的人选，因为他缺乏州长或参议员等州一级竞选职位的经验。
I want to push back on that because it is something when we define qualifications in a certain way, it tends to just kind of perpetuate the inequalities we see.
一些白人女性民主党人，例如马萨诸塞州参议员沃伦和密西西根州长惠特莫，可能经验更为丰富。但分析人士说，黑人的命也是命的运动的复兴可能会让选择非洲裔美国人出任副总统候选人成为政治和道义上的当务之急。美国之音记者帕登华盛顿报道。
明尼苏达州非裔男子弗洛伊德的死亡悲剧引发了全美各地反对警察暴力和种族不公的抗议活动。一群纽约的华人青年发起了倡议，鼓励商家张贴支持黑人抗议运动的海报。来看报道。
过去一周来，全美各地为明尼苏达州非裔男子乔治·弗洛伊德死亡事件继续开展游行，抗议种族主义和警察暴力。纽约女权活动人士梁小门在网上看到一些华人对黑人刻板印象的言论后，决定发起一个倡议华人商家张贴支持黑人维权海报的活动。
在华人社区有特别多的对黑人的误解和对黑人的偏见，然后我们想要建立一个这样子的沟通的桥梁，让华人明白反对种族歧视对于黑人以及对于华人的意义。可以拿手机。
他的想法得到了一些华人青年包括留学生的响应。17名志愿者决定在纽约的两个华人社区曼哈顿中国城和皇后区的法拉盛展开行动。
那我想问一下，可不可以在你们店里就是贴一下就支持黑人运动的。
刚在纽约读完硕士的黄一万第一次来法拉盛，为的就是参加这次活动。
然后因为我自己也是学政治的，所以就很想要过来看一下当地的华人社区是怎么看待黑人运动的。好，谢谢。
我们是反对种族歧视的志愿者，我们现在正在做一个活动，不知道你愿不愿意在你的店面门口贴一张这样的海报呢？
有的店要提早关门，有的店因为老板不在无法做决定，没有收下海报。
那不知道我们能不能把这张照片贴到您的店门口呢？
好吧，还是有挺多人就不愿意在自己的店的外面贴跟政治相关的东西，无论他们是支持还是反对，他们一听这个是跟政治有关的，跟我的生意没有直接关系，他们都是会想要直接的说拒绝。
也有不少店家表示支持，一个下午超过40家店铺同意他们张贴海报。
我们是就是支持这次黑人运动的，然后想问一下，可以在店门口贴一个海报，然后让我们拍个照吗？好，那我们先留。
因为毕竟我们亚裔也是一个少数群体，法拉盛本来就是一个亚裔群体的地方吧，所以说我们就是都要就是凝聚在一起吧，所以说大家都一起努力一下，那么我们的就是华人在美国的地位可能会更被重视一下吧。
就是举着这个牌子，然后我们
除了游说华人店主，志愿者也在街上发放海报，为愿意支持的路人拍照，并发到 Instagram 等社交媒体，展现出有这么一群华人对黑人抗争的支持。
针对不同族裔的暴力，
很多华人不了解的时候就会觉得，那这个活动跟我们有什么关系？这是黑人的问题。
所以我们就想直接了当的就说，这个话题跟我们是有关系的，支持他们就是在支持我们。
黑人也是少数族裔，华人也是少数族裔，我们都是在争取少数族裔能够平等的在这个社会上生活的权利，以及不会被警察暴力对待和因为我们的种族而被不区别对待和歧视，我们争取的权利本质上是一样的。
Thank you。
梁小门打算继续在网上召集感兴趣的志愿者，将这项活动扩展到全美的其他地区。美国之音记者九岛纽约报道。
社交平台推特星期四宣布，该平台删除了超过170,000个与北京支持的宣传中国影响力的账号。推特在一份声明中说，他们暂停了23,750个高度活跃的核心账号，以及大约150,000个用来加强核心账号内容影响效果的扩音器账号。推特说，这些账号主要用中文发推，散布有利于中国共产党的地缘政治信息，并且同时继续兜售有关香港政治动态的虚假信息。澳大利亚和美国的研究机构对被删除的23,750个推特账号和内容的分析发现，78.5%的账号没有任何粉丝，95%的粉丝不超过8个，但是这些账号总共发出了350,000个推文。研究人员还发现，这些与中国政府有关的推特账号大多在北京时间早上8点到下午5点发送大量宣传中国政府的推文，在周末推文大量减少，其中有关香港的推文所占比重最大，为32%，关于异议人士、中国富商郭文贵的推文占20%，有关新冠病毒疫情的占7%。另外，有关新冠病毒疫情的信息随着疫情蔓延到中国以外，在1月底有所增加，并且在3月底骤增。推特说，他们在这次对付虚假信息的行动中，还关闭了1000多个跟俄罗斯有关的账号， 以及至少7000多个跟土耳其政府有关的账号。推特说，这些账号散布有利于现任政府的虚假或者政治信息。谷歌近日宣布，其威胁分析小组发现一个由中国政府支持的黑客组织，试图通过钓鱼邮件入侵民主党总统参选人拜登的竞选团队。这再度引发了中国是否会干预美国2020年总统大选的讨论。我们一起来看美国之音记者平章和宁露的报道。
谷歌威胁分析小组负责人谢恩·亨特利6月4日在推文中表示，一个被称为 APT31 的黑客组织向拜登竞选工作人员的私人邮箱发送了钓鱼邮件。 APT 指的是高级持续性威胁。深入研究 APT 组织的网络安全专家告诉美国之音，长期的追踪和分析让他们确认 APT31 是一个与中国政府有关联的黑客组织。
So this is a group, APT31, that we've tracked for a while, a group that we've seen involved in what we believe is strategic intelligence collection for things of interest to the Chinese government. One of the things that we do in looking at the different campaigns that we track from advanced nation state actors, what we call APT actors, is look at everything from technical capabilities, the malware and tools they're using,artifacts from that, as well as the targeting. And all of that taken together gives us a sense of who is behind those operations.
谷歌公司表示，这次攻击并没有攻破的迹象，但他们已经通知了受影响的用户和联邦执法部门。这并非中国黑客第一次被指攻击美国总统参选人的竞选团队。网络安全专家认为，中国黑客过去攻击美国竞选团队往往是出于盗取情报等间谍目的，而非是要干预选举。但自2016年以来，中国的情报部门仔细研究了俄罗斯干预美国总统大选的做法。中国黑客这一次攻击的目的不确定。
Well, there's always intelligence collection. So if you can break into a campaign, you can learn who the donors are, what the power networks are, what the strategies are of the candidate, because there's always a ton of private position papers. In fact, I know the Biden campaign is writing position papers on how to deal with China. Getting access to that would be invaluable for Beijing. And that's a primary motive.Will they go beyond that and actually try and interfere in the campaign the way the Russians have? I don't know. But collect intelligence, yes. Interfere in the campaign, maybe.
观察人士指出，目前尚没有迹象显示中国试图采用俄罗斯那样公然的干预选举的做法，但中国近年来在澳大利亚、台湾等地的行为揭示出其有意加强对别国政治的干预。
One of the things we've seen in the last couple of years is, of course, the growing tension between China and the U.S. And so that means that countries will explore all possible means of coercion to use against each other. In addition, China has taken on a much more overtly political campaign. And so if you look at their activities in Australia, in Taiwan, in Canada, in some Southeast Asian countries, China's using all the tools it has to interfere with politics there. And I think they're experimenting with a good way to do this in the U.S. They aren't as good as the Russians. The Russians have been studying American culture for decades, and they have an advantage. But I think the Chinese have decided they need to get into this game of political interference.
引起美国警惕的外国势力干预选举的方式有很多，除了黑客入侵竞选团队，还有对选举基础设施进行攻击，比如入侵投票系统、盗取或者篡改选民登记信息等。此外，外国势力还可能借助美国社交媒体展开信息行动，比如散布虚假信息、冒名进行政治宣传以影响民意、制造争议话题、分裂选民等等。这些行为不仅会为选举制造混乱，影响选举结果，甚至会让选民对选举程序和投票结果失去信任。 曾经担任过奥巴马总统的特别助理和国家安全委员会网络安全协调员的迈克尔·丹尼尔认为，像俄罗斯和伊朗那样公然干预美国大选，不符合中国一贯的行为模式和地缘政治目标。中国更有可能采取的方式是通过信息行动来影响美国大选。
So in the sense of influencing the elections to promote policies and politicians and leaders that would seem more friendly to China, yes, of course, I would expect them to do that. And some of that might even be surreptitious, meaning that you wouldn't be able to tell at first glance that China was behind it. So do I expect them to do those kinds of influence operations? Of course. But again, that's very different than trying to just, upend the electoral process and have us wonder, like, who actually won that particular race, or, just sow doubt and strife and discord in the U.S., within the U.S. politically. Those are two very different things in my mind.
中国历史上曾多次被指干预美国选举。早在1998年，美国参议院就有调查报告指出，中国政府在1996年的美国总统大选当中参与了给民主党的捐款。美国国家情报机构2018年也曾在报告中指出，中国试图干预当年的中期选举。中国官方则坚持否认，称中国无意干涉别国内政。美国之音平章宁路华盛顿报道。
近日来，全美多个城市爆发大规模的抗议示威，与此同时，各地也在逐渐重启经济。新冠疫情是否有再次爆发的风险？美国之音采访了著名的美国国家卫生院过敏与传染病研究所所长福气医生，我们来看看他怎么说。
非裔男子乔治·弗洛伊德的死亡在美国多个城市引发抗议示威，美国政府部署国民警卫队平息抗议活动，当中有队员确诊新冠病毒。福气医生建议民众避免人群聚集处，如果一定要参与抗议，务必全程佩戴口罩。
Well, I think we have to be careful because we don't know how it's actually going to turn out. But as I have been saying for some time, gathering in crowds is a risk.Gathering in crowds without a mask is an even bigger risk. And when you have demonstrations, even though you can understand the reason and the need to exercise your constitutional right to demonstrate for something that you feel strongly about, my recommendation has always been that one has to be really careful to avoid crowded places. And if you do it,which I don't recommend you do, but if you do, make sure you wear a mask and keep a mask on all the time. Obviously, there is a risk when people congregate in a very crowded way, particularly if they're shouting or chanting, that there is a risk that there will be spread of infection leading to a surge of new infections. And that's one of the things we're keeping an eye out on. And it was very disturbing to see that some of the actual National Guard who were there actually were infected, which means that there's the possibility, maybe a likelihood, that they would have infected other people or were infected from other people.
抗议活动中，多数示威者佩戴了口罩，不同材质的口罩提供的防护力不一。不过，福气医生说，他们都能提供一定程度的保护。
I think one can say,that wearing a mask is always better than not wearing a mask. It may not be 100% protective, but it certainly affords some degree of protection from you from getting infected from someone else. And if you are infected, even if you're without symptoms, it would protect someone else from getting infected for you. A normal cloth covering would be fine. Surgical masks are fine. There's no need.To get an N95 mask. We should save that for the healthcare providers who need it because they put themselves in constant risk by taking care of infected patients.
美国许多州近日开始重启经济活动，正王将士纪念日过后，19个州爆发新的疫情。
It's a very big country, and different states, regions, cities, towns, and counties.Have different levels of infectious activity. If you're in a county or an area that has very little infection, you can feel comfortable in going and trying to normalize and diminish mitigation. If you happen to be in an area where there's still very active infection, it would not be wise to try and rapidly get to decreasing the mitigation. So I think you can't say one size fits all. You have to look at where in the United States you are. If you're in a high impact area, you've got to really be careful. If you're in a low infection area, you could be a little bit more brisk in returning to normal.
在美国各州重启经济以及有关种族平权的示威活动不断的背景下，许多人担忧第二波疫情可能爆发。
It's impossible to predict with any degree of certainty what's going to happen. The one thing we do know will happen is that there will be infections in the fall and in the winter. We know that because this virus is so transmissible, it's not going to spontaneously disappear from the planet. We'll have it.Whether or not we have a second wave in the fall and winter will be totally dependent upon our ability and our effectiveness to be able to identify, isolate, and contact trace these new cases when they come up. If we do that effectively, we can prevent a second wave. It is not inevitable that we're going to have a second wave. We can prevent it if we do the right thing.
福奇医生对研究团队研制出疫苗对抗新冠持谨慎乐观态度。
I am cautiously optimistic that we will have a vaccine within a reasonable period of time, not only from Moderna, but from other companies too. They are not the only company. We are involved in collaboration with several other companies. The reason I'm optimistic is that in the early trials in humans and in animals,The results have been favorable. In other words, it protects animals in the experimental stage. And in the phase one trial in humans, the vaccine was able to induce a response that was predictive that you might be protective against the virus. So although you never can guarantee that you will have a safe and effective vaccine, and that would be foolish to guarantee that because no one can guarantee that.But we are cautiously optimistic that we're going in the right direction.
福奇医生说，许多感染新冠的患者虽未出现症状，但他们可能是病毒传播的重要因素。
The data is clear that you know about 25 to 50% of people who are infected are asymptomatic. We know that asymptomatic individuals can transmit it. We do not know what the extent of that is, but we know that it is not rare.And that was what the controversy from the WHO statement said, that it's a very rare event. We don't know exactly what the percentage is, but there is enough evidence to indicate that it could be an important part of the transmission.
福奇医生说，疫情最终会过去，人们将恢复正常生活，但在此之前，民众必须确保自身安全，戴上口罩，外出时保持谨慎。
I believe that.Our experience with this devastating outbreak will make us be much more aware of the ability of respiratory infections to spread easily. So I think that there will be care, but I think that gradually, it may take a couple of years, but gradually we will get back to normal so that maybe someday you and I could have an interview in person.
美国之音新闻报道。
立陶宛一位富有创意的餐厅老板将衣着时髦的橱窗模特摆在餐厅的座位上，吸引顾客上门。来看报道。
身穿时髦服装的橱窗模特在立陶宛首都的餐馆就坐。在新冠疫情隔离结束后，他们吸引真正的顾客上门，并且帮助维持社交距离。这些服装来自该地区的精品店，由当地设计师给橱窗模特量身定做。
Yesterday, when we had already all the mannequins sitting in their places, at once it felt like a full restaurant, and it gave a much, much, much better vibe in the restaurant at once. So that was the main goal of the whole project. And yesterday evening, we felt already that, hey, it's working.
该市其他餐厅已迅速加入这项计划。
Because then you are for sure where you can sit or where you can't. On the other hand, it gives quite a good mood. Really, we came up with smiles on our faces.
在世界上其他地方也出现使用橱窗模特或假人来填补餐厅座位的想法。在美国，穿着1940年代服装的橱窗模特在维吉尼亚州的小华盛顿旅馆帮助维持社交距离，让人们之间的距离看起来没那么远。美国之音塔波报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们下次节目再见。观众朋友们，大家好，今天是6月13号，星期六，欢迎收看《美国观察》。特朗普总统已经发布行政命令，授权美国对参与调查一些美军是否在阿富汗犯下战争罪行的国际刑事法院人员进行制裁。国务卿蓬佩奥说，设在海牙的法庭是出于政治动机，对美国主权构成了威胁。来看报道。
在过去的18年中，美国军事人员和情报人员一直在阿富汗与恐怖主义作斗争，这些行动已经导致该国据称是受害人提出的约700项关于战争罪的申诉，国际刑事法院已授权进行一项重大调查，这是该法院的检察官首次被批准调查美国部队。
Cannot, we will not stand by as our people are threatened by a kangaroo court, and indeed I have a message to many close allies around the world. Your people could be next.
国务卿蓬佩奥星期四宣布，美国对参与调查的国际刑事法院人员进行经济制裁和旅行限制。人权组织谴责了这种针对国际刑事法院的举动。
One of the most troubling elements of this executive action is that you have the Trump administration deploying tools that are typically used for some of the most dangerous threats to the United States.
国防部长艾斯珀说，美国不是创建国际刑事法院的罗马规约的缔约国，从来没有接受过该法院对美方人员拥有授权。美国两党的许多议员都反对国际刑事法院针对美国及其盟国以色列的调查。以色列总理内塔尼亚胡迅速赞扬了美国总统特朗普对该法院的制裁。美国之音塞内报道。
北京在台湾海峡日益大胆且频繁的军事动作引起了美国国会议员的关注。一位参议院共和党人推出法案，将确保美国履行对台湾的安全承诺，遏制中国武力犯台的意图。来看美国之音国会记者李一华的报道。
共和党联邦参议员霍利这个星期推出台湾防卫法，目的在确保美国维持足够的军事能力，以遏制中国对台湾所采取的既成事实战略。所谓的既成事实战略，指的是中国意图在美国军事力量能够做出有效反应前，先夺取对台湾的控制权，同时威慑美国，让美国相信采取反制措施将是非常困难的，或者必须付出高昂的代价。霍利参议员在接受美国之音采访时表示，台湾防卫法的主要目的就是要阻止中国的帝国主义扩张。我们来听听霍利参议员怎么说。
To stop Chinese imperialism, Beijing's imperialism in the Asia Pacific, we know that China's intent, their hope militarily, is to launch a first strike on Taiwan, seize control, and then preventany response from American or other forces. And of course, that would probably involve an attack, a preemptive attack on American forces in the region. So we want to make sure that we send a clear signal that we're going to defend our positions in the region. We're not going to allow China to dominate and shut us out of the Asia Pacific. We're not going to allow China to acquire territory by force of arms. And we're going to protect our interests. We simply cannot allow China to become an imperial power and to dominate the whole Asia Pacific, because from there they'll try to dominate the whole rest of the world.
台湾防卫法援引了多个美国国防单位的报告内容，包括美国国防情报局2019年的评估报告说，中国迫使台湾与中国统一，遏制台湾宣布独立，为中国长久以来的意图，也是中国军事现代化的主要驱动力。美国国防部2019年6月份所发布的印太战略报告也指出，中国政府正在以武力让台湾与大陆统一而准备应急措施，同时威慑、延迟或拒绝任何第三方为台湾进行任何的干预。霍利参议员表示，他认为中国目前正在试图改变台湾海峡甚至整个印太地区的现状。继续来听听霍利参议员的说法。
Yes, absolutely they are. They're clearly trying to change the situation in their favor. And their favor means they're trying to exert and project their power. And we have got to, the United States has got to stand up to stop that. Listen, I'm all for peaceful development from China if they will, you know, be peaceful and develop their economy. But we're going to have to say no to military adventurism. We're going to have to say no to economic adventurism.
法要求美国国防部长从2021年到2026年每年的4月30号之前必须向国会军事委员会提交年度报告，就国防部改进联合作战能力的进度来做出说明。以上是美国之音记者李一华在国会山的采访报道。
随着种族平权的抗议席卷全国，分析人士认为说，民主党总统候选人拜登有可能选择一位非裔女性作为他的副总统人选。
全国性种族不公正抗议活动加大了呼吁拜登选拔一位非裔美国女性作为总统竞选副手的声音。一些人认为特朗普总统要求军队平息内乱而激化了这些抗议活动。
He has to actually have something to offer black voters, and it can't just be that Donald Trump is a mess of terrible. It has to be something more.
拜登这位民主党总统候选人已经承诺挑选一位高素质的女性担任副总统，解决种族紧张和激发黑人支持的不断增长的需求，已将人们的注意力集中在加州联邦参议员卡马拉·哈里斯身上。哈里斯是印度和牙买加移民的女儿，但在民主党初选中败给了拜登，她已经成为主要竞争者。与此同时，另一位总统提名参选人克洛·布查尔参议员的前景似乎因受到批评而逊色。批评人士说，作为明尼苏达州的前检察官，他当时没有大力追究警察暴行的案件。乔治亚州亚特兰大市长巴顿斯被认为是有潜力的竞争者，因为他对自己所在城市的骚乱发表了激烈的演讲，并解雇了因涉嫌在抗议中过度使用武力的警察，而赢得了全美的瞩目。
We understand that our officers are working very long hours under an enormous amount of stress, but we also understand.That the use of excessive force is never acceptable.
关于佛罗里达州国会议员戴明斯的讨论也越来越多，他是针对特朗普总统弹劾程序的管理者之一，但是他也因为过去担任奥兰多警察局长的表现而受到批评。乔治亚州前州议员艾布拉姆斯也有可能，他在这个共和党势力大的州的州长竞选中以较小差距落选。前国家安全顾问苏珊·赖斯也是一位可能的人选，因为他缺乏州长或参议员等州一级竞选职位的经验。
I want to push back on that because it is something when we define qualifications in a certain way, it tends to just kind of perpetuate the inequalities we see.
一些白人女性民主党人，例如马萨诸塞州参议员沃伦和密西西根州长惠特莫，可能经验更为丰富。但分析人士说，黑人的命也是命的运动的复兴可能会让选择非洲裔美国人出任副总统候选人成为政治和道义上的当务之急。美国之音记者帕登华盛顿报道。
明尼苏达州非裔男子弗洛伊德的死亡悲剧引发了全美各地反对警察暴力和种族不公的抗议活动。一群纽约的华人青年发起了倡议，鼓励商家张贴支持黑人抗议运动的海报。来看报道。
过去一周来，全美各地为明尼苏达州非裔男子乔治·弗洛伊德死亡事件继续开展游行，抗议种族主义和警察暴力。 纽约女权活动人士梁小门在网上看到一些华人对黑人刻板印象的言论后，决定发起一个倡议华人商家张贴支持黑人维权海报的活动。
在华人社区有特别多的对黑人的误解和对黑人的偏见，然后我们想要建立一个这样子的沟通的桥梁，让华人明白反对种族歧视对于黑人以及对于华人的意义。可以拿手机准备。
他的想法得到了一些华人青年包括留学生的响应。十七名志愿者决定在纽约的两个华人社区曼哈顿中国城和皇后区的法拉盛展开行动。
那我想问一下，可不可以在你们店里就是贴一下就支持黑人运动的。
刚在纽约读完硕士的黄一万第一次来法拉盛，为的就是参加这次活动。
然后因为我自己也是学政治的，所以就很想要过来看一下当地的华人社区是怎么看待黑人运动的。好，谢谢。
我们是反对种族歧视的志愿者，我们现在正在做一个活动，不知道你愿不愿意在你的店面门口贴一张这样的海报呢？
有的店要提早关门，有的店因为老板不在无法做决定，没有收下海报。
那不知道我们能不能把这张照片贴到您的店门口呢？
好吧，
还是有挺多人就不愿意在自己的店的外面贴跟政治相关的东西，无论他们是支持还是反对，他们一听这个是跟政治有关的，跟我的生意没有直接关系，他们都是会想要直接的说拒绝。
也有不少店家表示支持，一个下午超过40家店铺同意他们张贴海报。
我们是就是支持这次黑人运动的，然后想问一下可以在店门口贴一个海报然后让我们拍个照吗？好，那我们先留，
因为毕竟我们亚裔也是一个少数群体，法拉盛本来就是一个亚裔群体的地方吧，所以说我们就是都要就是凝聚在一起吧，所以说大家都一起努力一下，那么我们的就是华人在美国的地位可能会更被重视一下吧。
就是举着这个牌子，然后我们
除了游说华人店主，志愿者也在街上发放海报，为愿意支持的路人拍照并发到 Instagram 等社交媒体，展现出有这么一群华人对黑人抗争的支持。
对不同族裔的暴力，
很多华人不了解的时候就会觉得那这个活动跟我们有什么关系，这是黑人的问题，
所以我们就想直截了当的就说这个话题跟我们是有关系的，支持他们就是在支持我们。
黑人也是少数族裔，华人也是少数族裔，我们都是在争取少数族裔能够平等的在这个社会上生活的权利，以及不会被警察暴力对待和因为我们的种族而被不区别对待和歧视，我们争取的权利本质上是一样的。
Thank you。
梁小门打算继续在网上召集感兴趣的志愿者，将这项活动扩展到全美的其他地区。美国之音记者九岛纽约报道。
社交平台推特星期四宣布，该平台删除了超过17万个与北京支持的宣传中国影响力的账号。推特在一份声明中说，他们暂停了23750个高度活跃的核心账号，以及大约15万个用来加强核心账号内容影响效果的扩音器账号。推特说， 这些账号主要用中文发推，散布有利于中国共产党的地缘政治信息，并且同时继续兜售有关香港政治动态的虚假信息。澳大利亚和美国的研究机构对被删除的23750个推特账号和内容的分析发现，78.5%的账号没有任何粉丝，95%的粉丝不超过8个，但是这些账号总共发出了35万个推文。研究人员还发现，这些与中国政府有关的推特账号大多在北京时间早上8点到下午5点发送大量宣传中国政府的推文，在周末推文大量减少，其中有关香港的推文所占比重最大，为32%。关于异议人士、中国富商郭文贵的推文占20%，有关新冠病毒疫情的占7%。另外，有关新冠病毒疫情的信息，随着疫情蔓延到中国以外，在1月底有所增加，并且在3月底骤增。推特说，他们在这次对付虚假信息的行动中，还关闭了1000多个跟俄罗斯有关的账号，以及至少7000多个跟土耳其政府有关的账号。推特说，这些账号散布有利于现任政府的虚假或者政治信息。谷歌近日宣布，其威胁分析小组发现一个由中国政府支持的黑客组织，试图通过钓鱼邮件入侵民主党总统参选人拜登的竞选团队。这再度引发了中国是否会干预美国2020年总统大选的讨论。我们一起来看美国之音记者平章和林璐的报道。
谷歌威胁分析小组负责人谢恩·亨特利6月4日在推文中表示，一个被称为 APT31 的黑客组织向拜登竞选工作人员的私人邮箱发送了钓鱼邮件。 APT 指的是高级持续性威胁。深入研究 APT 组织的网络安全专家告诉美国之音，长期的追踪和分析让他们确认 APT31 是一个与中国政府有关联的黑客组织。
So this is a group, APT31, that we've tracked for a while, a group that we've seen involved in what we believe is strategic intelligence collection for things of interest to the Chinese government. One of the things that we do in looking at the different campaigns that we track from advanced nation state actors, what we call APT actors, is look at everything from technical capabilities, the malware and tools they're using,artifacts from that, as well as the targeting. And all of that taken together gives us a sense of who is behind those operations.
谷歌公司表示，这次攻击并没有攻破的迹象，但他们已经通知了受影响的用户和联邦执法部门。这并非中国黑客第一次被指攻击美国总统参选人的竞选团队。网络安全专家认为，中国黑客过去攻击美国竞选团队往往是出于盗取情报等间谍目的，而非是要干预选举。但自2016年以来，中国的情报部门仔细研究了俄罗斯干预美国总统大选的做法。中国黑客这一次攻击的目的不确定。
Well, there's always intelligence collection. So if you can break into a campaign, you can learn who the donors are, what the power networks are, what the strategies are of the candidate, because there's always a ton of private position papers. In fact, I know the Biden campaign is writing position papers on how to deal with China. Getting access to that would be invaluable for Beijing. And that's a primary motive.Will they go beyond that and actually try and interfere in the campaign the way the Russians have? I don't know. But collect intelligence, yes. Interfere in the campaign, maybe.
观察人士指出，目前尚没有迹象显示中国试图采用俄罗斯那样公然的干预选举的做法，但中国近年来在澳大利亚、台湾等地的行为揭示出其有意加强对别国政治的干预。
One of the things we've seen in the last couple of years is, of course, the growing tension between China and the U.S. And so that means that countries will explore all possible means of coercion to use against each other. In addition, China has taken on a much more overtly political campaign. And so if you look at their activities in Australia, in Taiwan, in Canada, in some Southeast Asian countries, China's using all the tools it has to interfere with politics there. And I think they're experimenting with a good way to do this in the U.S. They aren't as good as the Russians. The Russians have been studying American culture for decades, and they have an advantage. But I think the Chinese have decided they need to get into this game of political interference.
引起美国警惕的外国势力干预选举的方式有很多，除了黑客入侵竞选团队，还有对选举基础设施进行攻击，比如入侵投票系统、盗取或者篡改选民登记信息等。此外，外国势力还可能借助美国社交媒体展开信息行动，比如散布虚假信息，冒名进行政治宣传以影响民意，制造争议话题分裂选民等等。这些行为不仅会为选举制造混乱，影响选举结果，甚至会让选民对选举程序和投票结果失去信任。曾经担任过奥巴马总统的特别助理和国家安全委员会网络安全协调员的迈克尔·丹尼尔认为，像俄罗斯和伊朗那样公然干预美国大选，不符合中国一贯的行为模式和地缘政治目标。中国更有可能采取的方式是通过信息行动来影响美国大选。
So in the sense of influencing the elections to promote policies and politicians and leaders that would seem more friendly to China, yes, of course, I would expect them to do that. And some of that might even be surreptitious, meaning that you wouldn't be able to tell at first glance that China was behind it. So do I expect them to do those kinds of influence operations? Of course. But again, that's very different than trying to just, upend the electoral process and have us wonder, like, who actually won that particular race, or, just sow doubt and strife and discord in the U.S., within the U.S. politically. Those are two very different things in my mind.
中国历史上曾多次被指干预美国选举。早在1998年，美国参议院就有调查报告指出，中国政府在1996年的美国总统大选当中参与了给民主党的捐款。美国国家情报机构2018年也曾在报告中指出，中国试图干预当年的中期选举。中国官方则坚持否认，称中国无意干涉别国内政。美国之音平章宁路华盛顿报道。
近日来，全美多个城市爆发大规模的抗议示威，与此同时，各地也在逐渐重启经济。新冠疫情是否有再次爆发的风险？美国之音采访了著名的美国国家卫生院过敏与传染病研究所所长福气医生，我们来看看他怎么说。
非裔男子乔治·弗洛伊德的死亡在美国多个城市引发抗议示威，美国政府部署国民警卫队平息抗议活动，当中有队员确诊新冠病毒。福气医生建议民众避免人群聚集处，如果一定要参与抗议，务必全程佩戴口罩。
Well, I think we have to be careful because we don't know how it's actually going to turn out. But as I have been saying for some time, gathering in crowds is a risk. Gathering in crowds without a mask is an even bigger risk. And when you have demonstrations, even though you can understand the reason and the need to exercise your constitutional right to demonstrate for something that you feel strongly about, my recommendation has always been that one has to be really careful to avoid crowded places. And if you do it, which I don't recommend you do, but if you do, make sure you wear a mask and keep a mask on all the time. Obviously, there is a risk when people congregate in a very crowded way, particularly if they're shouting or chanting, that there is a risk that there will be spread of infection leading to a surge of new infections. And that's one of the things we're keeping an eye out on. And it was very disturbing to see that some of the actual National Guard who were there actually were infected, which means that there's the possibility, maybe a likelihood, that they would have infected other people or were infected from other people.
抗议活动中，多数示威者佩戴了口罩，不同材质的口罩提供的防护力不一。不过，福气医生说，他们都能提供一定程度的保护。
I think one can say that wearing a mask is always better than not wearing a mask. It may not be 100% protective, but it certainly affords some degree of protection from you from getting infected from someone else. And if you are infected, even if you're without symptoms, it would protect someone else from getting infected for you. A normal cloth covering would be fine. Surgical masks are fine. There's no need to get an N95 mask. We should save that for the healthcare providers who need it because they put themselves in constant risk by taking care of infected patients.
美国许多州近日开始重启经济活动，阵亡将士纪念日过后，19个州爆发新的疫情。
It's a very big country, and different states, regions, cities, towns, and counties have different levels of infectious activity. If you are in a county or an area that has very little infection, you can feel comfortable in going and trying to normalize and diminish mitigation.If you happen to be in an area where there's still very active infection, it would not be wise to try and rapidly get to decreasing the mitigation. So I think you can't say one size fits all. You have to look at where in the United States you are. If you're in a high impact area, you've got to really be careful. If you're in a low infection area, you could be a little bit more brisk in returning to normal.
在美国各州重启经济以及有关种族平权的示威活动不断的背景下，许多人担忧第二波疫情可能爆发。
It's impossible to predict with any degree of certainty what's going to happen. The one thing we do know will happen is that there will be infections in the fall and in the winter. We know that because this virus is so transmissible, it's not going to spontaneously disappear from the planet. We'll have it.Whether or not we have a second wave in the fall and winter will be totally dependent upon our ability and our effectiveness to be able to identify, isolate, and contact trace these new cases when they come up. If we do that effectively, we can prevent a second wave. It is not inevitable that we're going to have a second wave. We can prevent it if we do the right thing.
福奇医生对研究团队研制出疫苗对抗新冠持谨慎乐观态度。
I am cautiously optimistic that we will have a vaccine within a reasonable period of time, not only from Moderna, but from other companies too. They are not the only company. We are involved in collaboration with several other companies. The reason I'm optimistic is that in the early trials in humans and in animals,The results have been favorable. In other words, it protects animals in the experimental stage. And in the phase one trial in humans, the vaccine was able to induce a response that was predictive that you might be protective against the virus. So although you never can guarantee that you will have a safe and effective vaccine, and that would be foolish to guarantee that because no one can guarantee that.But we are cautiously optimistic that we're going in the right direction.
福奇医生说，许多感染新冠的患者虽未出现症状，但他们可能是病毒传播的重要因素。
The data is clear that you know about 25 to 50% of people who are infected are asymptomatic. We know that asymptomatic individuals can transmit it. We do not know what the extent of that is, but we know that it is not rare.And that was what the controversy from the WHO statement said, that it's a very rare event. We don't know exactly what the percentage is, but there is enough evidence to indicate that it could be an important part of the transmission.
福奇医生说，疫情最终会过去，人们将恢复正常生活，但在此之前，民众必须确保自身安全，戴上口罩，外出时保持谨慎。
I believe that.Our experience with this devastating outbreak will make us be much more aware of the ability of respiratory infections to spread easily. So I think that there will be care, but I think that gradually, it may take a couple of years, but gradually we will get back to normal so that maybe someday you and I could have an interview in person.
美国之音新闻报道。
立陶宛一位富有创意的餐厅老板将衣着时髦的橱窗模特摆在餐厅的座位上，吸引顾客上门。来看报道。
身穿时髦服装的橱窗模特在立陶宛首都的餐馆就坐，在新冠疫情隔离结束后，他们吸引真正的顾客上门，并且帮助维持社交距离。这些服装来自该地区的精品店，由当地设计师给橱窗模特量身定做。
Yesterday, when we had already all the mannequins sitting in their places, at once it felt like a full restaurant, and it gave a much, much, much better vibe in the restaurant at once. So that was the main goal of the whole project. And yesterday evening, we felt already that hey, it's working.
该市其他餐厅已迅速加入这项计划。
Because then you are for sure where you can sit or where you can't. On the other hand, it gives quite a good mood. Really, we came up with smiles on our faces.
在世界上其他地方也出现使用橱窗模特或假人来填补餐厅座位的想法。在美国，穿着1940年代服装的橱窗模特在维吉尼亚州的小华盛顿旅馆帮助维持社交距离，让人们之间的距离看起来没那么远。美国之音塔波报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们下次节目再见。